Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Never drink and ride. Alcohol and snowmobiles do not mix. Alcohol slows down your physical and mental reactions, affecting balance, coordination, and most importantly, judgment. It also greatly reduces your risk of hypothermia. Know how prescription drugs affect you before riding. This information is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Hi, I'm Phil Douglas from the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources, and I'd like to invite you to put a little wild in your life with a unique chance to see wild elk. Each winter, the DWR conducts sleigh rides to see Rocky Mountain elk at the Hardware Wildlife Management Area, located 17 miles east of Hiram, Utah, in the beautiful Blacksmith Fork Canyon. For hours, directions, and ticket prices, visit our website. Come join us on the sleighs. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious, and all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world? Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Ty Hunter joins us once again with Utah's boating program. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us.
Hey, thanks again, Brian, and thanks all again for all you out there in Radio Land that will be listening to me here for a bit.
I'm excited to have you back on the program. We're in the holiday mode right now. Before we talk about other fun things going on, let's talk gifts. I know a lot of people are shopping right now for the boater. What are some great gift ideas?
We've talked about this plenty of times, but for the boater themselves, start thinking what type of a life jacket you would want to have. That's a great gift. That's a gift of care and love that you can give. And to get them something to where they'll wear it. They'll wear their life jacket. They want to wear it. And they're going to wear it all the time. And so that's some of the things that I would look at. A wife to get a gift for her husband. It's that husband that always has everything that he needs. Is that the husband that goes out fishing by himself on his boat? Then I would look at and say, hey, look at getting your husband an inflatable life jacket, one that's an automatic inflatable life jacket, suspender type of life jacket. It's not bulky. It's easy. Incentivize them to put it on and wear it, and then that shows the love that you want them to come home after the fishing trip is done.
And I think it's so important to have that comfort level there, because if it's not comfortable, oftentimes they don't wear it.
Yep. I look at it. I've said this before. It's like a pair of shoes. If the shoes aren't comfortable, you're never going to wear them. But if you got the most comfortable shoes, those are the ones you're going to wear down to the threads basically are bursting and busting on them. And that's what you want to do with the life jacket. So, and there's plenty of different styles out there. They're not the old traditional orange with the horseshoe collar type design with them. They are so much more comfortable. And really, you can buy all sorts of designs and types and whatever out there. It's just when you're looking at them and doing the purchasing of them is read the label so you understand what their intended use is for. When you're doing that, read the label. Not many online vendors put the labels out there for you to read them. So if you're comfortable in buying and doing return and they have a great return policy, then do it that way. But make sure you read that label before you put it into use and make sure it's being used for the right uses.
You don't want to have the wrong jacket for the wrong application.
Correct. I know one vendor, and I'm not by any means pushing them, but they're the only one that I know that has labels on their website, but it usually fits more to the paddling and the river rafting community, and that would be NRS. Like I said, I am not pushing that. I'm just pushing that they have their labels online, and you can read that. They would be good. They have some river fishing vests. They don't normally deal with inflatables or anything there. Again, that's one that you can go and look at. By all means, you can reach out to us at boating@utah.gov. So it's boating@utah.gov. And you can ask that question. You can take a photo of it, send it to us. It'll get either to me or to somebody else in there that can make a call of whether or not that jacket is a good jacket to buy for that particular use. And we'll let you know as soon as possible with that. So that's one way that we can do that helpful piece in picking out the right jacket with that.
It's a great time to buy things right now. A lot of times there's on discount. You buy this year's models before the new colors come out, you can save some big money, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you can with that there. And there's the traditional ones that they have, what they call our typed jackets. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. 4 is a throwable, but the 1, 2, 3, and 5 are wearable life jackets. They're kind of our standard of what we're used to. And then we've got the new ones that are called levels. And we've seen the level 70 ones out right now. And they have different symbols and things on there. So if you have questions, reach out to us and we'll help you answer those at boating@utah.gov.
Appreciate you helping that out, because that is a little element of confusion there. And I know that folks that have had these inflatable ones, they've been out long enough, there is maintenance required on these. A lot of people become very passive on these. They think, well, I'm covered, I'm comfortable with them, I like them, I'm wearing it, but they don't check the dates on these things. Some of these things have parts that need to be replaced on a regular basis.
Yep. Most of these, you have to have the bobbins replaced on them. They're a little dissolvable piece that's in them that will trigger the mechanism to fill them. The punch of the CO2 cartridge that's in them on the automatic piece. They are to be replaced every 3 years. You can look on those dates. The best thing is to Google or whatever platform you use to do your searches, but look them up on the internet. The make and the model that is on the jacket, and look at the owner's manual and do that. And as you said, they are like your car. And if you got a car and you drive it around and you don't change the oil and you don't do the things there, that car's going to run for a while. And then all of a sudden something's going to happen. And then there's going to be some type of catastrophic failure on that car. And then you'll be buying another car or putting a new engine in it. And that's the thing with these inflatables. You can run them for a while. And if you don't do the maintenance on them, the lifetime of them are going to go down and they may not work. And we're starting to see statistics, not only in Utah, but in the United States and worldwide, that people are not taking care of these inflatable jackets and not doing the maintenance on them and not doing the right things of arming them. And so they're not going off. So you need to make sure you take care of them there. And I know for a new thing that will be coming, I do not know when it will be coming, but the age limit will be reduced on these jackets. Right now, the age limit is set from 16 years and older, and they are looking at reducing that age limit. I do not know when those jackets will come out, but man, that will be big news when they come, because that'll be so cool that we can start to get down into the younger kids that can wear these jackets and basically wear them when they're required by state law to wear them, and then hopefully continue to wear them when they're not required by state law, because they just know it's the right thing to do and they're comfortable.
I think you make an excellent point there. I really think it's important and a key to get used to those while you're young, and then it becomes part of your commonplace. For our family, it's kind of been that way. My kids grew up with life jackets from the beginning, and you almost feel naked out there if you don't have one.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. You don't have that safety blanket around you.
Yep. I wish more people would feel that way. I've said this plenty of times, just make it that part to where you are wearing it. I can't tell you how many times if I'll sit in the boat show and I hear, we always wear our life jackets. We always wear our life jackets. But it seems to be when that comment is made, the adult is looking at the child. Yes, the child is always wearing their life jacket, but what about the adult? And we have had very serious and very sad situations where child was wearing the jacket and the adult was not. Or even more so, the dog was wearing a life jacket and none of their owners were. And now the dog doesn't really have anybody to take care of them. So take care of yourself there. And we just want people to look at that and make that risk assessment and make a good risk assessment that I could be a victim with this. And if I'm a victim with this, how are these others going to be taken care of in that situation, but also after that situation too?
Well, life jacket is enabling. It's empowering to you. As an adult, you can't take care of your other little ones if you're not protecting yourself too first. You got to take care of yourself first, and then you can take care of everyone else much better.
Yep, that is it. So a big plea out there for adults. We still, as of last year, I haven't done the numbers for this year, but as of last year with our stats, we're still sitting at that 6% voluntary wear rate for life jackets. So there are 6% of adults that are choosing to wear their life jacket when they're not required to. That is a very dismal number. I wish it would increase, because in increasing that, we would not see some of the numbers we've seen. Now, we've had a couple of good years where we haven't had that many fatalities. I mean, granted, anything over zero is not a good year, because that means somebody's loved one didn't come home and is not with them. And I would really love to go to that zero and kept at zero boating-related drownings in Utah. That would be a massive accomplishment. And that is one that we have our goals set to do, is that we want to look at trying to get 100% of people out there educated, and we want to have 100% people out using the outdoors. And I would love to see them out using the outdoors and interacting with the water. But also we want to shoot for the situation of zero search and rescues of that demographic that went through our classes. So that's what we're trying to watch out and get the word out to do.
That number, 6%, seems so crazy to me. And I know there's got to be a lot of those people out there that have gone through that age group where that was required, and then something's not connecting anymore with them. It just seems crazy to me that why would you stop?
I think it's a view of there's a rite of passage. I've done my rite of passage, what's required by law, and I'll only wear this thing when I'm required to wear it, either being towed, that's water skiing, being on a tube, wakeboarding, wake surfing, when I'm on a personal watercraft, and when I'm on rivers. But the rest of the time, not to use an old adage of a thing, I'm kind of invincible. Or maybe it's not that I'm invincible, it's just that I'm not required to wear it, and I don't want to wear it because it's uncomfortable. So that's the adage that we need to move out of, and it'll be a hard thing to overcome. I wish people would remember, if they've changed in their lifetime and wearing a seatbelt in the vehicle, and how all the gripes and moans and groans about wearing that, but they ended up wearing it, now it's a habit, and they do that. I would like to see that happen on the water and have that migration from not wearing your seatbelt to not wearing your life jacket to wearing your seatbelt and wearing your life jacket. It'd be the same things there, and it's because they love each other, and they want to be home and be together, and you love yourself, and you want to continue on this great life.
I like those points. Thank you for sharing that. That is so important to me. A great gift idea. Great holiday gift idea. It just speaks to how much you care for those that you're giving it to.
Yeah, and a good one there. And the other one is you can either do a subscription. This is multifaceted, but most of us have smartphones now. So you could look in and do a subscription to an app, some type of app for location and mapping. I'm just trying to think, that's a great one there that could help out with anyone. Even looking at maybe buying a first aid kit. First aid kits can be used from your home to your vehicle to while you're in the outdoors. And just to get you something there to be able to take care of yourself, take care of loved ones while you're out there. Fix whatever little boo-boo, but maybe sometimes there's something that big happens and these things can come along and help you in the long run. So those are just some other things that you can get. Flashlights, you can't go wrong with flashlights. You can't go wrong with mapping. You can't go wrong with first aid. I mean, those are good things to get, and you can use them in multiple things.
Agreed. Spot satellite messengers, very helpful throughout the years, I've noticed. Marine radio, very helpful for boaters. A lot of good tools out there. Communication is key. I mean, a lot of times we're out of cell service on the water, and if there's another way to get that word out, hey, we're in trouble here, is anybody out there to help us? That could cut down the time, too.
Yep. Satellite communicators are coming down in price. I mean, you can pick them up pretty cheap. We just outfitted our division with some, and it's great because we can send 15, 16 messages a month with that. And it's nice when we don't have cellular reception that we can either check in with home or check in with a dispatch or one of our other employees so they can communicate some things out that we're doing okay or what we need to be able to get help for somebody else there. So those are some great things you can look at for this Christmas season and looking for this next year of recreating in Utah.
Fantastic. Another great gift idea is a state park pass. It's the launch pad for so many state parks and so many waters. If you're an angler, if you're a boater, that'll get you open to so many different places throughout the state every day of the year.
Yep, that is a very good and economic choice if you're going to be visiting the waterways a lot. and especially if there are state-managed waterways, you can hit and get a big parts faster.
Thank you, Mr. Ty Hunter, joining us with Utah's boating program. Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. We'll be visiting with you soon in the new year.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Phil Douglas from the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Each winter, the DWR conducts sleigh rides to see Rocky Mountain elk at the Hardware Wildlife Management Area, located 17 miles east of Hiram, Utah, in the beautiful Blacksmith Fork Canyon. Friendly drivers, powerful draft horses, comfortable sleighs, and up-close experience with the elk make this one of Utah's great wildlife traditions. Visit our website. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Keep yourself safe this winter season. Wear layers to protect yourself from winter's cold. Also keep a hat, scarf, and mittens on hand as essential winter gear. Select footwear appropriate for snow and slush, and be sure to keep extra dry clothing in your vehicle in case you get wet. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio. This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside. Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hollow State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woohoo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov. Enjoy some amazing late-season upland game hunts and bring home some game meat for the table. We're bringing out the shotgun next on Western Life Radio.
For the latest snowmobile grooming reports and current snowmobile conditions throughout the state, check out www.snowut.com. Grooming schedules are posted and conditions and snow depths are updated weekly. There is also a link to the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center so you can get all of your snowmobile information in one spot. This message is brought to you by Utah's OHV Education.
This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside. Hike out in the fresh air and bring home some game meat for the table. Brant Taylor with Taylor Gunsmithing is looking for some cottontails.
Yeah, cottontail and snowshoes around to the middle of February, and some of the upland bird hunts, chukar, I think, goes still in also, and some of the grouse hunts go into the winter, and so there's still plenty of opportunity to get out and hunt. When I grew up, we didn't hunt the cottontails for the table till after the first good frost and some snow. so that you didn't have to worry about the little trolleys on them. But late season hunting is my favorite. I love the antlerless hunts that are in November, December, and January. Rabbit hunting in those times, that's great. And it's a lot easier to take care of the meat. You can get it cool quickly, and you don't have to carry so much ice with you all the time when it's cold. Turkey hunting in the spring is really challenging. You have to call those cagey gobblers in, and I'm excited to try the fall turkey hunt. You can take a hen or a gobbler or a jake, and it seems like a really neat opportunity. I'm looking forward to taking advantage of it. Maybe you can get a Christmas turkey. That'd be great, really fun. You smoke up the turkey, it's the best turkey you'll ever eat. I'm convinced of that. We need to keep our sport and our heritage going. We have to do that by introducing the younger generations to it and getting them as enthused as we are.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Snowmobile clubs and associations are the root of nearly all snowmobile trails. They work with landowners and government agencies, hold fundraisers, clear brush and downed trees, do trail signing, build bridges, and spend the winter grooming trails. Snowmobile clubs also teach young riders to enjoy the sport safely. Join a club where you ride to help support trails, have fun, and share great experiences. Brought to you by the American Council of Snowmobile Associations and the Federal Highway Administration. Visit snowmobileinfo.org.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? Will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Chase Peely joins us once again at the trailhead with Utah's OHV and snowmobile program. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk about the change of season and what we have coming next. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
I've been chomping at the bit for months to talk with you about snowmobiling. I know people have been pestering me about it already a bit. They're wondering when the snow groomers are going to hit the trails. We're starting to see some snow on those hills, almost getting close enough for the groomers to head out.
Yeah, so funny that we're talking about this today, because yesterday I was able to get out with the last storm system. I was actually up on the Wasatch Mountain / AF Canyon side to check a few things, checking the narrows to see if that's passable with the snowcat, as well as just checking over the overall levels of snow. And so we're right on the cusp of having our groomers head out. I'd say there's definitely enough snow up AF Canyon, and there's probably enough snow on some of our other areas. But what our grooming complexes will do, we'll check snow levels. We do need at least 18 inches of snow on 80% of the trail systems. So when they go out and check those, they're just making sure that there's ample snow to prevent damage to our snowcat, making sure our operators are safe. And so some of our areas are definitely ready, so you'll see some updates on the Snow UT website. It'll be snowut.com with our partners at the Utah Snowmobile Association, and that will be our most updated grooming information for the state of Utah. So you should see some here in the next 2 to 3 days of some updates on there.
That is so exciting for me. I get a kick out of checking out that site, too. I check out the reports, and every groomer, everybody who gets out there on those trails to groom those trails has a different personality in how they report the conditions and everything. If anybody's been in one of those groomers, it's a different experience. It's so quiet. It's you, the wildlife, the moon sometimes, and then whatever tunes you're playing in the groomer. It's an awesome experience, and these guys who do that oftentimes are volunteering for their time. Sometimes it's part of their job. But, man, they take such pride in it, too.
Yeah, the Utah Snowmobile Association and some of our local clubs have actually been some of our groomers and some of these snowcats. And so we've been lucky enough to partner with our local clubs and organizations. And, you know, some of them are paid positions, but really when they look at paid positions, they just need some funds to take their vehicles up to where the snowcats are. And so as even with our paid positions, they're really giving back to the community. And exactly how you explained it, sitting in the snowcat, me coming from a snowcat operator up at Strawberry, it's definitely a unique experience. If you do have the opportunity to hop in some of those cats, then I would for sure take it. And it gives you a perspective of what the trails and what it takes to get the trails to get these corduroy-like conditions that we often see. And I wouldn't say we take advantage of them. It's just the understanding of how much work it takes to make sure that you have a smooth trail system is really an awesome job to be a part of. Every time I've been able to carve out a section or carve out a drift, it's been kind of a unique experience to give back to the community. I am a public servant for the state of Utah, but I know that the funds being utilized for this is going to someplace that's really cherished among the motorized snowmobile community.
You truly get a lot of bang for the buck when you think about it. Because, again, the people who do this, I mean, when you were doing it, you got probably paid, but I'm sure it was not millions of dollars. It's more of a passion than anything else.
Yeah, when we employ these snowcat groomers, you can really see the passion that they want to provide, and their thought is really to the user. But there's not a lot of physicians that really think about the user end of things. And so, really, a lot of them are already part of the community. They want to provide something that they value as well as a lot of other people value. And so when we're looking at 15,000-20,000 miles of groomed trail, that's what's being provided out there for the state of Utah from the Snowmobile Fund. So really an awesome service that we're able to provide for Utahns and also visitors to Utah. I really think we do have the best snow in the nation, and we have some of the best riding opportunities in the nation as well. Really a unique place to ride.
It truly is. And there's so many miles of trail available. When everything's up and running, it's incredible. With 13 complexes, and I don't remember how many miles, there's a lot of miles out there to ride to your heart's content.
Yeah, we've been, I wouldn't say working night and day, but we've been really focused on, okay, how do we make this product better? And so working with all the complexes to make sure they have all the supplies they need to really lift this program up. It's a lot more than just snow cats on the trail. They spend a lot of summer times to prep the trails, clearing out some of the shoulders, making sure T-posts are up, making sure the orange marker poles are up. Our shop mechanics are working long hours to make sure that those snow cats are ready and that they're mechanically sound. And so it takes a lot of people to make sure the snowcat program's up and running. And hats off to our partners with the snowmobile clubs, is a lot of times they're out there with us to mark the trails and make sure that the shoulders are cleared and that there's a path for these snowcats. So it takes quite a bit, and we're grateful that all these people are willing to help to make sure that we have access to the forest.
Exactly. We were joking a little bit before the segment here that you're actually working on this in July already. You're already working on the winter season, and it doesn't make you feel any cooler, unfortunately, in the heat of the summer, but you're already looking ahead to the winter season, and these other volunteers, they're flagging things. They're prepping the trails in September, long before that snow starts to fly again.
Yeah, it's kind of funny and interesting as we're sitting in July, the middle of the summer, and everyone's enjoying the summer trails, and we're looking at these mountains, and to think that we're prepping for the snowcat season and making sure everything's ready. But that's really how much it takes to make sure that this program is successful, is that we spend the time to make sure everything's set in place. So when the snow flies, we have as much as we need, at least on the work front and supply-wise, to make sure it's successful. And as the snow's flying right now, now we're starting to slowly think about our summer trail systems and to see how our trail crew and our trail crew foremans can help out with some of our summer projects as well. So kind of interesting to think, and even from my mind, I'm also thinking about 4 to 5 years. 10 years down from now, is how well this snowcat program gonna look at be changed in Utah? How many snowmobiles? What's the trend of snowmobile registrations? And so we're looking at all those aspects to make sure that we are hitting the right mark and making sure that we're providing the service that our registered donors want.
Very smart. And I'm glad you're looking ahead, because with the Olympics coming on our doorstep again, that's a lot of new visitors that are going to be visiting our trails and wanting to discover what else we have out there beyond the ski resorts.
Yeah, that's really something to look at in the next few years, is what does Utah in general look at, especially during the winter season for the Olympics. So we haven't put a ton of thought into it other than we know that it's coming. And so as it gets closer, we're going to, just like you said, we're going to look at what it takes to make sure that we're providing the best service, and really we're in a unique position to show the world what it is to be in Utah during this time of year. It's often seen as some of the best time to be around in Utah during the winter season in northern Utah for both. I would argue to say that not only for the skiing and the non-motorized use, but we have some amazing motorized opportunities that really sets above the rest of the nation for it.
It truly is. The numbers back this up, too. I mean, for a few years, it kind of stagnated, especially during those drought years. But as of last year, numbers really picked up again. We're seeing a lot more energy, a lot more excitement about the winter opportunities again.
Yeah, I was out on the trail. I was thinking it was a little bit stormy, and I was thinking there wouldn't be quite a lot of snowmobile users. But at Wasatch Mountain State Park, their parking lot was full. Now, it's a smaller parking lot, but we saw about 30, 40, maybe 50 sleds on the mountain, and this was really only the first day that you could go out in, you know, I wouldn't consider them safe conditions, but better conditions than the week before. And so as we were talking to some of the users, you could just see how happy they were that there was enough snow finally. And so really the snowmobile users, they're such a passionate group where they just want to get out and ride the powder. They want fresh powder days, a lot like the skiers and snowboarders. And so they have a lot of the same tendencies. And it was really neat to see them out and about and also talking with them. We love being able to talk with our users out in the field and let them know everything that's going on. And so it was a real fun experience. Even in a slight snowstorm, people were still having fun.
And to make that the most enjoyable experience possible, preparedness is key. We encourage folks to check their sleds over, make sure everything's working, make sure you have the right fuel in there. Check everything. Check your safety gear. And again, let people know where you're going and when you expect to be back.
Yeah, that's great to bring up, especially from a couple experiences. And I wouldn't say people weren't safe, but your first ride out, you always probably are missing maybe one or two things. Hopefully it's not safety items. But we got talking about some of those stuff on the trails. One of the users actually had some overheating issues with their coolant system. And so we were able to help them get them off the trail safe. But we got talking about everything you check before you head out, because this user said, I thought I had everything. And so I said, yeah, it looks like you had mostly everything. Checking all your fluids, its fluids looked okay. But, you know, you're checking everything on the outside of your snowmobile. And not only that, you're checking your gear. You're making sure you have, most importantly, your safety equipment with your helmet and your avalanche beacon and your probes and your shovel. And on top of that, you're checking the avalanche forecast. Maybe you have some GPS systems. You have some other items to make sure that you can stay on the trail for a night if needed. So there's a lot of checklists that you should go through and make sure that you have. And to get some information on those, we have the Utah Avalanche Center. They have some great resources there. We have some items on our OHV webpage, ohv.utah.gov. And even just checking your YouTube channels of, hey, what do you carry on the mountain when you're going snowmobiling? All that stuff, now that we're at the beginning of the season. You know, even me, I probably had two items that I wish I had on the mountain while snowmobiling. And now that I went through that first ride, I went through all my gear, and I just had a checklist making sure I had every single thing to make sure that whatever ride I was going to go on was going to be the safest ride.
That's key. I'm glad you brought up the Avalanche Forecast Center. If folks haven't taken the refresher course or haven't checked out some of the videos to remind them, it's important to do so at the beginning of the season. That way everything's fresh in your mind on how to use your avalanche beacons. Make sure the batteries are good. And there was quite a few avalanche conditions with the snowstorm that came through. Human-triggered ones. You want to make sure you're in the safe zones or as much as you can avoid those scenarios that's going to potentially bury you.
While checking that forecast, it changes daily. So every morning before you go out, it's not just one of those where you check the weather and it may be good for the next week. The Utah Avalanche Center has always stated in some of their reports that it's always changing every day due to whatever the sun's doing, whatever the forecast is doing, if there's added snow on top. So check your respective areas and check it daily before you go out. And I always remind our users when I actually see them at the trail, that's one of the first things I ask. Hey, did you check the avalanche forecast? Now, if they haven't checked it, I usually let them know what it is because I've checked it before I went out typically. So, yeah, go to UtahAvalancheCenter.org. Make sure you know before you go. You make sure you know how to use all your equipment and making sure that you're providing some safe riding opportunities for everybody.
Speaking of volunteers, a lot of those folks with the Avalanche Forecast Center are volunteers. They're getting up insanely early hours to get that forecast fresh on your doorstep when you leave your homestead and give you that information so it's pertinent, so it's reliable, and to give you at least a heads up of the potential conditions you might be running into.
What's pretty awesome about our forecasters for Utah, for the Utah Avalanche Center, is just like you said, they're getting up early. They're out in these areas. It's not like your normal job where you're looking at maybe some report from something else. They're actually out there on snowmobiles, on skis, on all those items that all our users use, and making sure that they're getting the best knowledge possible. And you know, I've rode with a few of the UAC guys and gals, and they're some of the best people to hang out with and so knowledgeable. So if you ever see them out there on the trail, say thank you, say hi to them, even ask a few questions. They're always friendly people, just like our rangers and our snowcat operators. They're just good people doing good work and giving a great message to our users.
That's exactly right. And for those folks that are out there, I mean, they can't see everything. They can't be everywhere at the same time. If you personally see conditions that are concerning, or if you want to update conditions, they're always welcoming to get information from us as the riders, too.
Oh, yeah. It's such a great resource that you can send them photos and provide some reports. And that way they're giving the best message they can, because not only they are giving information, they're accepting information from all our winter recreators out there. And so such a great resource and almost a community-like type of organization where they're inclusive of everybody and making sure that they're giving the best information possible to everybody. So I can't speak nothing but great things about the Utah Avalanche Center. They've just been such a great partner to us, and we love being able to work with them.
Same here. I can't imagine heading up in the mountains without that information, that resource at our fingertips. And every time we've had a tip or a suggestion or a picture or something, they've been very welcoming and very readily sharing that with others so that everybody else on the slopes or on the hillsides can benefit from that same information.
They're just so accepting of all the information because they know that more knowledge is power for everybody. They know that our users out there are able to provide, at least they may not know the science behind it, but a picture says 1,000 words, a video says even more, and all that data that's collected to help them make the best report possible is so helpful to them.
And they do offer a lot of courses over the course of the winter and even earlier. If folks want to connect with the Avalanche Center or any of these other partners for avalanche preparedness or avalanche information, where do they go?
So they can go to UtahAvalancheCenter.org, and there's some educational opportunities there. A lot of our dealerships, our private partners, have been able to put on classes, some avalanche or AVI 1 classes, safety classes. And so not only are there opportunities with just visiting their website? But check your local dealership. A lot of times they have some of these organizations help them out, as well as our Snowmobile Association, the Utah Snowmobile Association. They definitely have some opportunities to help give some educational resources out to everybody. And so quite a bit of organizations are there to give knowledge about this. And it's pretty easily able to find, whether it is at the storefronts or online or just through your local clubs. They're pretty proactive on all this information.
I've attended some of those before, too, and the dealerships oftentimes will do a really nice job. They'll even provide snacks. I know a couple of them I've attended in the past have had barbecue sandwiches and all kinds of goodies, and it's a nice way to do it, and they sometimes have giveaways to get you excited about things, and you get some really good deals sometimes on helmets and other gear.
Yeah, I was just up at Weller's a couple weeks ago, and they were about to put on a class, and they were providing some discounts on their avalanche safety gear and having some snacks. And so a real cool social event, as well as maybe getting some good deals on making sure you have the right safety gear for getting out on the mountain.
Mr. Chase Peely joining us once again with Utah's OHV program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
When snowmobiling, be prepared. Keep your machine in top condition. Always carry a toolkit, first aid kit, emergency supplies, and spare parts. Always let someone know where you're going and when you'll be back. Use the buddy system and never snowmobile alone. This message is brought to you by Utah's OHV Education.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov. Find a perfect gift that will make any hunter happy. We're going over our Christmas list next on Western Life Radio. Safe this winter driving season. Keep your vehicle's fuel tank over half full in case you get stranded on one of Utah's highways. Check tires for proper inflation and tread, and check windshield wipers and washer fluid levels. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
School resource officers make $50,000 and up. faster Utah can train 40 or more school staff members to the same skill level for the same amount of money. What do you think? FasterUtah.org.
Snowmobiling, be prepared. Keep your machine in top condition. Always carry a toolkit, first aid kit, emergency supplies, and spare parts. Always let someone know where you're going and when you'll be back. Use the buddy system and never snowmobile alone. This message is brought to you by Utah's OHV Education.
Several great gifts can make a hunter smile. Brant Taylor with Taylor Gunsmithing shares some recommendations.
A good youth shotgun is really versatile for a lot of things besides just hunting up from game. And they work really well for home defense also, and they're not terribly expensive. You can get a good one for $300 to $400. Stick with a good name brand, and you have something that will last one or two lifetimes if you take care of it. My fallback is ammunition. I've told the story before about getting a carton of 22 ammunition for Christmas. That was great fun. That lasted quite a while, and that was exciting for me. When I was a young boy, get that ammunition, and now I'm going to get to be taken out to shoot it. That was great fun. Self-defense ammunition, that would be a really nice gift. So an NRA membership wouldn't be a bad idea. If you know people who aren't members, that can really help us out. Hearing protection is always a good idea. The electronic hearing protection, like you have, it's really nice to have. That kind of thing. The best for the money, I think, is the Howard Light. It has noise compression technology. It's not too expensive. It's great stuff.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses, and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Hi, I'm Phil Douglas from the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Each winter, the DWR conducts sleigh rides to see Rocky Mountain elk at the Hardware Wildlife Management Area, located 17 miles east of Hiram, Utah, in the beautiful Blacksmith Fork Canyon. Friendly drivers, powerful draft horses, comfortable sleighs, and up-close experience with the elk make this one of Utah's great wildlife traditions. Visit our website. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Keep yourself safe this winter season. Wear layers to protect yourself from winter's cold. Also keep a hat, scarf, and mittens on hand as essential winter gear. Select footwear appropriate for snow and slush, and be sure to keep extra dry clothing in your vehicle in case you get wet. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
The story's been given through smoke in the air, and the flames shadows cast. It raises our spirits like warm glowing embers with tales of adventure invoked from the past. He's hunting and fishing in marshes and mountains, discovering life in the backcountry wild, exploring the West with its treasures abounding, with the soul of a sportsman and heart of a child. Wild and free, the song of the mountains is calling to me.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.